Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are meditating on our epistle reading for today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So, here we are. Today marks the end of what's been a great time of growth and encouragement for Olivia and I. It's the end of my time with you as vicar, and it's also the start of, I guess, the home stretch towards the finish line of ordination, God willing, of course. I've been told that the final 6 months of pastoral studies tend to fly by, so I think this is a good moment to just sort of pause and reflect on these last 6 months that we've had the pleasure of spending together. You as a congregation, I think, have led us into your lives as a community and as people as well. And so Liv and I are very appreciative of that. So we're very grateful. And I hope that you can look back on this time together with the same joy that we can as well. Today also marks the end of a slightly shorter journey for our first-time communicants today. They too have grown and hopefully been encouraged in their faith. And today we'll receive them into Holy Communion. They'll receive communion for the first time, which is a privilege, and it's a real joy to be part of. So we look forward to that later in the service. In our epistle reading today, Paul reflects on his own journey of faith. He was once the biggest persecutor of Christians, but he became a great apostle and leader of the early church, as we know. This transformation wasn't without its challenges. In fact, he suffered pretty heavily for it. But nothing could extinguish the hope that he had in Jesus. So as he writes to the Christians in Corinth, he wants to pass that hope on to them. What about your own journey of faith? I think a lot of us go through fairly similar stages as Christian people. The love of Christ transforms us into something that we weren't before. That transformation then calls us to put aside our own desires and ambitions at times, but we do it willingly because we have a hope that inspires us. So let's think about our Christian journey in terms of those three stages today: transforming love, life-giving death, and inspiring hope. What better way to sign off than to preach another solid three-point sermon? So Paul was completely transformed when he encountered Jesus. It was pretty dramatic, actually. He was knocked off his horse, and then he was blinded for 3 days, which is, pretty dramatic. But then for those 3 days, he silently processed everything that had just happened to him. Coming into direct contact with Jesus, or better, Jesus coming into contact with him, transformed Paul. There's no other way to explain the change from the church's biggest threat to its greatest asset. There was a moment when Paul realized something. He realized that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son to it. He realized that everything Jesus ever did was for his benefit. He realized that Jesus died on the cross for his sin and the sin of the whole world. Suddenly, the way that he saw God and the way that he saw the world was completely different. The love of Christ changed Paul, and it changes us too. So today, 6 of our young people are receiving Christ's body and blood for the very first time. Jesus himself will come to you in a way that he never has before. Receiving Christ's body and blood could make you feel a little bit strange, maybe a little bit emotional even. It can be a pretty big moment for us. It might also make you not really feel much at all. And that's okay too. Either way, we know for sure that we are receiving Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, as we've learned. That's the beauty of the sacraments. It's not our understandings or our feelings that matter, but it's God's active promise. So when we receive the love of Jesus into our hearts then overflow. We can't help but share that love with others. Paul says that Christ's love compels him, motivates him, even controls him. No one else can love us to the point of death on a cross. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus has done that. Only his love can transform us into people who then love and serve others. Now, for the new to come, the old has to pass away. Such a transformation means that we change in a very deep way. It means that we have to let go of something. Something has to die in order to make way for new life. That's the hard part. Vicarage has been an experience of learning and growth, which sounds lovely, but actually it's pretty challenging. Learning can be a very difficult experience. To be able to learn, you first need to admit that maybe you don't actually know everything, and maybe you might be wrong from time to time. It might sound obvious, but I think we're all caught out on that one occasionally. I know I am anyway. I think we tend to picture education in general in a pretty romanticized way, I suppose. We say that learning opens our minds. It makes us better people, gives us endless opportunities. That's all well and good, but the journey of learning is pretty difficult. For example, if you've ever learned a musical instrument, you'll know that there are times when you don't want to practice, even though you know that you need to in order to get better. Or if you've ever learned to kick a footy with your opposite foot, you'll know that it's pretty hard to discipline yourself to actually use it, and you'll tend to just stick to your preferred side. Learning requires us to sacrifice something in order to grow, and it's hard. I think it's the same when it comes to growing as God's people. Being a faithful Christian requires us to make sacrifices. It requires us to admit that we don't have all of the answers on our own. It requires us to recognize that we need help. We are called to die to ourselves and live to Christ. I think Luther says something about baptism here that's quite helpful. He says that baptism signifies that the old creature in us, with all sins and evil desires, is to be drowned and die through daily contrition and repentance. And on the other hand, that daily a new person is to come forth and rise up to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. The truth is, death hurts. Recognizing our sin is confronting, and then confessing our sin to God and to our fellow Christians is not easy. We learned in First Communion classes that it's good for us to examine ourselves before we come to God. When we do that, what we see isn't all that impressive. When we look at ourselves honestly, we see sin, and we see ourselves in serious trouble, and we understand that we actually deserve death. Only then do we realize that we desperately need God's forgiveness and new life, and it's in that very moment that he comes to us. Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. In baptism, our sin is drowned, but a new person is to come forth," Luther said, "a bit like a phoenix from the ashes. We participate in Jesus' own death and in his resurrection, right there at the font, and then it continues for the rest of our lives as we die daily to sin and then rise to new life in Christ. When we confess our sins to God and then receive his forgiveness in the absolution and in the body and blood of his Son, we receive the love of Jesus into our hearts. And that love compels us to live in service to him and to others. Now, of course, the tricky part is that we don't always live out that love. Paul says, "As long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord." I think he's saying that we tend to get comfortable in our lives of sin. But God is calling us out of this old life and into new life with him. I think this world and this body can feel like home to us sometimes. But God has a much better home in mind for us. That new home has already been prepared, And that new life has already begun by our baptism as we live in Christ, and then one day we'll live fully in that new life with Christ. Our struggles are not without hope. After all, we walk by faith, not by sight. Even though life does its best to throw us off course, we know where we're heading ultimately. When we see with the eyes of faith, we see the world in a whole new way. That's what it means to be a new creation. I personally find this encouraging right now, when much of our future is unknown to us. We don't know where we're going to be placed. We don't know exactly when we'll be placed. We don't know what kind of house we'll live in, even what ministry will look like really for us. But we walk by faith, not by sight. Your will be done, we pray. We trust that God will provide a place and a calling for us, one way or another. And that truly excites us. So, Paul says, as Christian people in the world, we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. We can afford to live with aspiration, ambition even, to please God because of the future that he's given us. We'll fail from time to time because we're still only human after all, but we have a place to go when that happens. And we have the promise of forgiveness, life and salvation because of what Christ has done for us. This perspective, this hope, this assurance changes everything. We have nothing to lose because God has promised us everything and he keeps his promises. New life in Christ gives us absolute confidence, courage and comfort like nothing else can. So as my time with you comes to an end, your lives of faith in this community continue on. So as you live and serve, do so with confidence, courage and comfort in the gospel. Live in the grace and joy of your baptism every day, and let the love of Christ inspire and compel you to please him. May you bring Christ's love to others in the same way that you have brought it to us. In the name of Christ, amen.